The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and the Harvard Health Letter. And the first thing I'm going to be reading from is a special report from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter about depression and anxiety disorders. It begins with the title, Depression and Anxiety Disorders, A Path Out of Darkness. Jim Dickinson was a pastor. Ginger White worked in a state courthouse. James Tevlin owned a construction company. These three retirees have all struggled in adulthood with mental illness, each in a different way, and shared an ability to find ways to function successfully in society, despite their illness. They held jobs. They enjoyed family life. In that way, their private struggles with a serious health problem could be largely hidden, invisible except to those closest to them. I'll never forget her comment, says White, of an associate she spent time with at a conference. I've been watching you for 2 days trying to see your mental illness. It was a very innocent comment, but it really struck me. There's a lot of people, the vast majority, who have a clinical diagnosis, and you don't know it by looking at them. There are times when they themselves don't know it. Dickinson, White, and Tevlin each struggled significantly before finding effective treatments. Dickinson attempted suicide multiple times. Tevlin had to stop doing familiar things, like flying on airplanes and driving over bridges due to sudden, debilitating fear. Depression and anxiety disorders are related, sometimes overlapping. However, they're also distinct from each other. They can take many forms and generally aren't something that just goes away. It's true that late-life transitions, like retiring from a long-held career or losing a loved one, can trigger mental illness. Still, depression and anxiety disorders aren't a normal part of any stage of life, and there's no shame in seeking effective treatment options. Dickinson, who 15 years ago received a mental health diagnosis that included major depression and an anxiety disorder, eventually found healing by taking two different prescription antidepressant drugs, bupropion and mirtazapine, along with attending weekly talk therapy with a psychologist. White had a dual diagnosis of depression and Asperger's syndrome, which is a mild form of autism that can cause problems in social interaction and communication. She found healing with the prescription antidepressant drug citalopram and also by attending regular talk therapy sessions and using self-care strategies to better manage the social aspects of Asperger's syndrome. Tevlin, diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, found a path away from his debilitating fears by taking a different drug, an anti-seizure drug that may also help with anxiety. The three stories demonstrate multiple paths out of depression and anxiety disorders. The path wasn't easy or quick for any of them, and the fear of returning to their darkest days never fades. It's like I'm walking on ice, but under the ice is a rolling torrent of river, says Dickinson. The ice, my meds, is barely keeping me out of the hole of depression. However, Dickinson persists because he finds beauty and value in life, his faith, and his family. He's restoring a 1952 Ford 8N tractor, a project that's also a form of treatment. My coping mechanism is to stay busy, to make small goals, he says. Depression is more than the blues. It's important to understand depression as the serious disease it is, beyond just fleeting feelings of unease or unhappiness. Phrases like, I'm feeling stressed, or I'm having a rough week, while not to be dismissed, aren't typically the words people limit themselves to when describing how depression feels. I describe the deepening of depression as falling into a dark hole, says Dickinson. I'd think that I'd hit bottom, only to find myself falling even further, something that I experienced a number of times. At the bottom, I could see no light. I didn't have any hope of getting out. No two people go through depression exactly the same way. You may feel like shutting out people. You may stop doing things you used to enjoy. You may find it hard to focus or think. Recognizing the common symptoms of depression may help you know whether what you're going through is depression. Symptoms may involve feelings. Sadness that does not go away. Feeling irritable. Feeling anxious or extreme guilt about past or present events. Behaviors. Loss of interest or pleasure in life. Withdrawing from others. Not managing daily tasks and personal responsibilities. Changes in eating habits. Sleep or personal care. New or increased alcohol or drug use. Thoughts. Finding it hard to focus, having a negative view of yourself, others, or of the future, feeling helpless, hopeless or worthless, having thoughts that you are a failure, or a burden to others, and would be better off dead. If you're planning suicide or even thinking about suicide, get professional help right away, and talk with someone you trust. See any threat of suicide should be taken seriously below in this article for helpful information. And I'm going to stop the reading at this point and just go ahead and go over that short piece that is entitled, Any Threat of Suicide Should Be Taken Seriously. If you or someone you know is thinking, talking, posting on social media sites, or texting about suicide, get help right away. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255, is available 24/7. There are warning signs that a person is preparing for a suicide attempt or is at a greater risk of suicide. And those warnings include mood, displays feelings of serious depression, moodiness or sadness, shows little energy. Communication, expresses feelings of being worthless or helpless, talks about being a burden. Researches, reads, or writes about suicide or death, withdraws from family and friends. Behavior, engages in high-risk behaviors like reckless driving or physical fights, increases the use of alcohol and illegal drugs. Plans and obtains the means to kill oneself, buys a gun or stocks up on pills, gives away possessions or sets affairs in order. Older adults with depression may not feel explicitly sad. They more often report anxiety, physical aches and pains, memory loss or difficulty maintaining clear thought process. At the same time, symptoms of depression may be overshadowed by a coexisting illness like arthritis, heart disease, or cancer. Depression is especially common in people with diseases that affect the brain, including up to half of people with Parkinson's disease and one quarter of those who have had a stroke. Depression can worsen symptoms of other illnesses and vice versa. Sometimes medication side effects can contribute to a depression. Feeling depressed, losing motivation, and thinking more negatively can result in not taking care of important medical conditions, like checking blood sugar and taking insulin. Dickinson, the pastor, explains how his signs and symptoms of depression combined with other health problems, forcing him to seek treatment. In 2003, I began having trouble with focusing on any daily responsibilities. It was a challenge to write a sermon, sometimes having to call someone to preach for me, he says. He saw his primary care doctor regularly for a year and tried different medications. He was also diagnosed with sleep apnea and another health issue. The problems worsened. In 2004 and 2005, I made several suicide attempts, and I was clearly depressed. I admitted myself to a safe facility in Bend, Oregon, and stayed for 6 weeks. Before I could leave, I had to have a support team and an appointment with the psychiatrist. It was then that Dickinson started to find treatment that worked, and he began his path to a more stable life. Anxiety is more than being on edge. Feeling anxious is a normal response to life's challenges or major decisions. These sometimes uncomfortable, unsettling feelings tend to resolve as you work through the situation. But for people with an anxiety disorder, the worries and distress don't go away as easily. In fact, they may grow severe enough to disrupt daily activities. For example, Tevlin was doing something routine 20 years ago, crossing a bridge he'd crossed many times near his home, when fear suddenly overtook him. I had an incredible sense of my vehicle being crushed, he says. It was like if I didn't get to the other side, I would be thrown overboard. It's important not to minimize feelings of anxiety when they occur. Help is available. In older adults, the more common anxiety disorder is generalized anxiety disorder. This is marked by excessive anxiety or worry across different areas like relationships, finances, and health. Common symptoms include fatigue, difficulty concentrating, irritability, sleep problems, and feelings of restlessness, tension, or being on edge. Other anxiety disorders include panic disorder. This involves recurrent panic attacks, sudden periods of intense, unexpected fear, with a pounding or racing heart, sweating, shaking, sensations of shortness of breath, and a feeling of impending doom or an urgent need to escape. A phobia stems from an intense fear and avoidance of something specific, like an object, an animal, a situation, or an environment. And then social anxiety disorder, also known as social phobia, is a condition that involves a significant fear of social or performance situations due to worries of embarrassment, negative judgment, or rejection. The condition may lead to avoidance of social settings and difficulty forming or keeping relationships. Sometimes more than one anxiety disorder is present, or anxiety disorders may be paired with another mental health condition, like depression, or post-traumatic stress disorder, or substance abuse. This can compound symptoms and worsen the quality of life. For Tevlin, the crushing fear of crossing a bridge spread to other routine activities. Soon he feared flying. He feared driving down any road without a shoulder. His world caved in on him. That initial anxiety exploded, he says. Tevlin became oversensitized to things he had done for many years. I realized that trying to deal with what was going on by myself was not working. I was slipping into adding more anxieties into my life and things I felt I could no longer do. He saw a psychiatrist, which led to regular one-on-one counseling meetings and participation in group therapy. He found it hard to make progress with therapy, so he eventually stopped, but the medication prescribed improved his condition dramatically. That seemed to help me to stop slipping and to begin having the courage to build on small victories and once again enabled me to participate in life. He says of the medication, if you have symptoms of depression or an anxiety disorder, get help. Try to ignore any lingering stereotypes about mental illness. These negative associations are changing, and no one should be ashamed about seeking care for mental health. It's a strength to report that you have a weakness in some part of your life, says White. You can only get stronger by admitting it. Start by talking to your healthcare provider. It can be as simple as saying that you haven't been yourself lately and you'd like to talk to someone about it. Your healthcare provider may want to rule out other causes for your symptoms, like medication side effects or a thyroid disorder. If results indicate depression, an anxiety disorder, or another mental health issue, your healthcare provider may suggest a number of different treatment approaches, or more likely, a combination. One possible treatment is counseling. Talking to a mental health professional, also called psychotherapy, can be very helpful in treating depression and anxiety disorders. A therapist can help you learn new ways of thinking about difficult situations. A therapist may also help you face and change old habits that may be contributing to your depression. Cognitive behavioral therapy is the most common and effective type of psychotherapy. It teaches you specific skills to challenge negative thoughts, improve your symptoms, and allow you to gradually return to the activities you may have avoided because of depression or anxiety. For anxiety disorders, exposure therapy is a particularly effective component of cognitive behavioral therapy. With this technique, you make a plan to gradually but repeatedly face feared situations in a predictable and controlled way until it becomes more manageable. Then there are medications. These can be crucial components in treating depression or anxiety. But some experts suggest caution when prescribing medications for older adults who have mental illness. That's because many older adults already take multiple medications, so drug interactions and side effects are more likely. In addition, drug metabolism can change in adults as they age. Work with your healthcare provider to find effective, beneficial drug dosages with minimal side effects. Several types of drugs are available to help relieve symptoms of depression and anxiety disorders, including SSRIs or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SNRIs, which are serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. These are typically recommended as a first treatment in adults, often paired with cognitive therapy. SSRIs and SNRIs impact the chemical messengers used to communicate between brain cells, particularly those that regulate mood. SSRIs include drugs called Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, Remeron, and Zoloft. SNRIs include Pristique, Cymbalta, Fetzima, and Effexor XR. Keep in mind it may take several weeks to see significant improvement. Benzodiazepines. For anxiety that's severe enough to disrupt daily function, a benzodiazepine like Xanax, Valium, or Ativan may be given short-term in the early stages of treatment as you adjust to an SSRI. These medications are typically not advisable to use long-term, especially among older people because they may increase the risk of falling. Beta blockers. Developed for heart problems, beta blockers include Tenormin and Inderol LA. These may be used to treat short-term bouts of anxiety, such as with public speaking, by controlling its physical effects like rapid heart rate, dizziness, and sweating. Along with your formal treatment plan, there are other healthy steps you can take. Regular exercise and activity can help to ease depression and anxiety symptoms. Stress management techniques, including paced breathing and meditation, also can impact your sense of calm and enhance your mood. Don't forget the role of social support. You might benefit from an online or in-person support group, allowing you to share your struggles and achievements with others fighting a similar battle. The public health measures required to stay safe in the COVID-19 pandemic, including social distancing and wearing a face mask, plus the grief caused by losing friends and loved ones, or, for some, loss of purpose, a job, or even a business, can themselves deepen the unease experienced by people who are struggling with mental illness. In addition, isolation has been particularly difficult for many people. For Dickinson, White, and Tevlin, living through the COVID-19 pandemic has refocused their mindset on appreciating what they have to be thankful for, including their health. It's taught them not to take things for granted and to share when possible their good fortune and their stories of perseverance through mental health struggles at a time when many people are struggling in other ways. All three serve as volunteer mentors for Mayo Clinic Connect, an online community support network where people can post about medical topics and connect with others who share interests. And the article says that Mayo Clinic Connect can be found at https://connect.mayoclinic.org. That's O-R-G. Next to this article is a short text entitled, Supporting Someone with Mental Illness. Once you understand that depression isn't something your loved one can easily manage without help, it may be more possible for you to offer support and care. Here are some ways you can help. Express your concern. Acknowledge the person's pain without implying that you know how he or she feels. Listen if he or she wants to talk, but don't try to draw the person out and don't ask intrusive questions. Being withdrawn is often part of the illness. Don't take it personally. Ask how you can help. Your loved one may not have specific suggestions of things you can do, but he or she will know that you're willing to be supportive. Offer hope. Remind the individual that depression is treatable and that he or she will likely get better. If your loved one is undergoing treatment, remind him or her that it takes time for the treatment to work. Give positive reinforcement. Depressed people often feel worthless and they dwell on their faults and shortcomings. Remind your loved one of his or her strengths and competencies and how much he or she means to you. Keep your sense of humor. You're likely to feel frustrated and even angry at times. That's okay, but try not to vent in front of the person and don't take your anger out on him or her. Use humor to diffuse tension and lighten the atmosphere, but don't make jokes at your loved one's expense. Encourage healthy behavior and activities. Invite your loved one to join you in doing activities or visiting family or mutual friends. But don't push and don't expect too much too soon. Also, gently remind the individual of the benefits of exercise and a healthy diet. Here's a quick question called Managing Depression in the Digital Age. What are some positives about older adults with mental health conditions connecting with others via social media platforms and other digital tools? One of the largest benefits I see, says Dr. Craig Sawchuk, is significantly reducing isolation by having a virtual bridge to family, friends, and social supports. I have seen some of our seniors become quite tech-savvy over time, which is great from a brain health perspective. Learning new things gives the brain exercise. The interactions that seem to give the largest returns are being able to keep up with family and friends. People especially enjoy interacting with their grandchildren. Reminiscing with friends and family is very healthy for us emotionally. And I'm going to stop this article at this point because it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.